Well, welcome to the studios.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
And, you know, I'd never forget your there's two numbers I'll never forget.
Yes.
Mark Cornell's 6454545.
Yes.
Because it was fun to say.
Yes, right.
And yours, because it was fun to say, 6454040.
Yep, we've had that a long time, since somewhere in the 1950s. It used to be Niagara 54040 when you had the call letters in front, remember?
Yeah, sure do.
Yeah.
And then they went to five. I go back to where they, I think in Northfield it was five and then the number.
Yes.
And then they went to 645.
Which was Niagara and the I
okay.
on the phone.
And then they went 663.
Sure.
And
now
who knows?
All sorts.
So it's already 9:16 on 1080, and Jesse, you said, what are we going to talk about? We're going to bore people. Well, I can't believe that, because, number one, the name Jesse Streitz has been known around this area. I mentioned earlier that I first met the Streitz family in Denison back in about 1968 or 69.
I'm sure it was, yeah, at least. Yeah,
yeah. And right. We started in September of 68.
Okay.
And, of course, I ran all over the place talking to people about the new radio station.
Right.
And I discovered Streitz Heating and Cooling.
You knew my brothers, Joel and Jimmy, pretty well, I think.
Right. And they would invite me into the shop, and yep. They were tin makers at that time also.
Absolutely. You know, sheet metal was a big part of the heating business at one time. I remember my dad telling stories when he started out. He made pails and milk pails and funnels. That's when you went to the local tin shop to get those things made.
Now, what was your dad's name?
My dad's name was Alfred.
Did they call him Al?
They call him Al.
Okay.
Yes, yeah.
And when did he, where's he from, Al?
Well, he was born in 1909.
Oh.
And he was a German that grew up in the St. Cloud area, where there's a pretty strong German community.
Now, what about your mom? Who was she?
My mom was Ruth.
Ruth?
And okay. It was her last name. Her maiden name was Holmgren. And she also grew up in the St. Cloud area. And they got married when they were quite young at that point, you know, in time, when people did. However, she was Swedish, and my dad was German, and the parents were not happy about a mixed marriage.
Yes, and that's something.
If you can imagine that now.
Were they both Lutheran?
My mom was Lutheran, and my dad was Catholic.
Oh, boy.
And that was the issue, of course.
Yeah.
And they got over it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, how many siblings do you have from the oldest to the youngest?
Yeah, I happen to have nine brothers and sisters.
Okay, let's start with the top.
Yeah, and an interesting thing about that a lot of people know is all of our first names start with J, all 10 of us.
Okay.
So we have John.
Okay, I'm writing these down.
Joan.
And how much older would John be than
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I'm the youngest of the family, and okay. John is the oldest, so there's 20 years between us.
Okay, so we've got John.
Joan.
John, Joan.
Jimmy.
Okay, I knew Jimmy.
Jerry.
Okay, I'm going to write that down. Jerry, I think I knew him.
Joel.
Joel, I know.
Jeanette.
Jeanette. I wonder if that's a Jeanette that I might know.
She married a Sutherland, Dick Sutherland.
Oh, okay. I
you might not know.
No. Okay, John, Joan, Jimmy, Jerry, Joel, Janet.
Jeanette.
Jeanette.
And then Jeffrey.
Okay. Do you call him Jeff?
Yeah.
Okay.
Judy.
Okay.
Jack.
Holy cow.
And Jesse. Now, I think that's 10.
I'll
count
them.
If you count them up, I could have forgotten one.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Got them all.
Wow.
And you know how when parents are going to yell at their kids or something? And,
yes.
and the mom will have to say all the names? Well, she had to say quite a list of names sometimes
yep.
when she was going to yell at one of us.
I remember that distinctly. My mother and my two sisters, our aunts.
Yes.
They all three had children about the same age. Mm-hmm. We were cousins.
Sure.
And we'd hung out together, and it would be, Lowell, Greg, Dale, Wayne, get.
Yeah, right.
So
right.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yes, and especially all being J's, I think it especially confused her.
I would imagine. And there's 20 years between you. Now, I would have to say the Catholic ruled out on this one.
Yes, I think so, evidently, yes.
and when when we'll talk about each one. Are they all still with us?
No, Jimmy is the first one to pass away of us, of the Straits group, so he's the third from the oldest.
Jimmy, okay, there you go. Okay.
The one that you knew.
Okay.
One of them.
Yeah. And that's the only one.
That's the only one.
Good. What's Joel doing now?
Joel, of course, after he sold the shop and no longer was involved as a business owner, he went back to work for Hymek in Northfield.
Yeah.
And he worked there for quite a while, but I would say it's been maybe 5-7 years he's been retired from there.
And he lived in Farmington.
He still lives in Farmington.
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. And he liked motorcycles.
He likes motorcycles.
Just like
always,
you did.
Yeah, he's always had a Goldwing, and I'm not sure he does anymore. I think, you know, his wife didn't want to ride much anymore, so he went and bought a Miata convertible, and he sold his motorcycle, and he rides around on that instead.
A Miata?
Yeah, it's a little tiny convertible.
Oh.
I don't know who
makes it. Is it cool?
Oh, it's a very nice-looking car, actually.
By the way, if you just tuned in, folks, my guest this morning is Jesse Straits. And the funny thing is Jesse went off to work and forgot his cell phone. And I had to call his former workplace business and then his wife, who answered Jesse's phone. And I'm going, wait a minute, I got the wrong number with a woman's voice saying hello. And you were at work? And I'm going, you're at work? Why would you be at work? You retired.
Yeah, well, I did retire. However, I always tell people I kind of flunked retirement. I didn't do very well at being retired. Anybody who knows me knows I'm sort of an energetic person and have to keep going and keep moving. So I have done numerous things since I sold the business 3 years ago to my two sons. I flip homes. I fix up homes and sell them. I also teach music lessons. And then I've taken a part-time job down at Tom's Downtown Bikes here in Northfield.
Music lessons.
Music lessons, yes.
For what instrument?
Well, I teach clarinet and saxophone lessons.
Okay, and you
built a studio in Dundas. My wife teaches piano lessons there.
Really?
And I teach clarinet and sax lessons there. And we have a studio in the back of our building there, and we have a...
in the back of the shop?
In the back of the shop area, and I had extra space in that building. That whole building is ours.
Yeah.
And I had some extra space, and I said, well, let's build a studio when I retired, and we have room there for recitals. We can seat 30 people there, and we have a stage, and we give lessons there.
And then people can park in the back.
They can park in the back.
Yeah. Okay, now you were in the local band that plays on Thursday nights on Bridge Square?
Sure, the local community band.
Yeah.
And we typically, actually, I think I counted up, and it's been about 50 years I've played with that band.
Wow.
I'm the longest running member. It used to be Phil Anderson.
Yes.
Okay. Phil played trumpet.
The honey
and
guy?
And for the longest time, he was the longest running member there. And this is no honor by any means because it means I'm very old. But I think I am the longest running player now there in the band.
And I've been on the Defeated Jesse James Day Committee for 50 years. This
Have
is
you?
My 51st year on the
go.
Committee.
Well, good for you.
I was at a meeting Tuesday night.
You've been a big part of that.
Well, of course, and you've been a big part of that band. And when I think of that band, I think of you. And we used to broadcast the deals live, if you recall.
You know, maybe I do remember that. That's
yep.
been a while, though.
Yeah. And I remember Sue Klinkhammer.
Oh, Sue Klinkhammer, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
She's always in there.
And we will be having 4 concerts again, starting, I think, the first Thursday in June. And we always give 4 concerts.
And they're always enjoyable. My guest this morning is retired Jesse Straits, and you were working at Mike's?
No, Tom's Bike.
Tom's. Where's that?
In the old Tiny's building.
Oh, that. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
With the hot dog on the wall.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So you got the ability to carry those bikes out the back and the front.
Yeah. Yeah, there is a back entrance, and then most of the customers, of course, always come in through the front. It's a very nice facility. He's fixed it up. And if you haven't had a chance, Wayne, you should stop in and look
should.
At it sometime.
I was walking down the street when, who's the fellow that, Sellers, that got it from Tiny?
Oh, yeah, I'm not sure. Oh, who owns it?
Yeah, after it closed Tiny's. Wasn't it a Sellers?
Oh, was it a Steve? No.
Steve and Millie had it.
Had it, okay.
And then, of course, they sold it, I think, I'm going to forget the guy's name right now. Right. Big basketball star for Northfield.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you might know that. I didn't know that.
And anyhow, he's walking down the street, and he says, Wayne, come here. And I said, okay. And the store was closed. And I guess he's just doing last-minute stuff.
Sure.
And he said, you got a cigarette on you? And I said, yeah. He said, light her up, will you? And I said, what do you mean? Well, I want you to be the last guy to smoke in Tiny's because they, you know, outlawed it.
Sure, sure.
And, of course, it was a smoke shop. That's
yes,
what it was.
Right,
and,
right.
And, you know, sat at the counter and smoked.
Right.
And Don McRae, the late Don McRae, smoked his pipe reading the paper there. So, anyhow, I lit up, smoked in Tiny's, and then he gave me an old ashtray,
mm-hmm.
a Tiny's wow. ashtray.
And well, good for you.
I run across it every once in a while because I have it in one of those, mm-hmm. you know, drawers you have at home with stuff in it.
Right.
Yeah, so.
What? That's pretty neat. That sounds fun.
Well, it's a story.
Sure.
You know, it's
absolutely.
A story. My guest this morning on the Wayne Eddy Affair is Mr. Streitz, and Jesse had a business in Northfield. We'll figure all that out. And his mom and dad, Al and Ruth, how did they get down to St. Paul, or excuse
right.
me, Northfield?
Yeah, down in Northfield. That's sort of an interesting story. After they got married, they moved to Brooklyn Center, which was really in the country then. And they lived there, I believe it was 1954 when my dad started getting antsy because it was too much growth up there and he'd like to be out in the country. He said he moved down to this area and he moved away from Brooklyn Center when he could no longer drive his team of horses down Highway 100. If you could imagine driving a team of horses on Highway 100 now.
No.
No. But he could then. But in 1954, it was just getting to be too much, and so he found 80 acres out near Dundas and bought that
Dundas.
Place there. Yeah, out rural Dundas.
Oh, I thought it would be Denison.
No, it wasn't. No,
okay.
We moved to Denison in 64.
Okay, so what year were you born?
I was born in 1952.
Okay.
I was like 2.5 or 3 years old when they moved down here. I have no remembrance of Brooklyn Center. I only remember out here in the
farm. Do you remember Dundas?
I remember Dundas, absolutely.
Okay. Well, let's take a brief break, and when I come back, I want to talk to you about Al's parents and Ruth's parents, in other words, your grandpa and grandpa.
Right.
All right. We will be right back. Our guest this morning is Jesse Streitz on the Wayne Eddy Affair.
Residential or commercial, Cannon Valley Water in Dundas is the place to call for water. Whether it's a complete water conditioning system or just salt delivery and filters, Cannon Valley Water can take care of it. And Cannon Valley Water can also deliver Candy Yohai premium water right to your house or business at great rates, too. Chippewa Springs is as pure today as it was when we first tested it over a century ago, and is proudly distributed by Cannon Valley Water. Pickups are now located at 609 Stafford Lane in Dundas, just behind Aldi. Call Cannon Valley for your water today.
This is a place known for being nice. But Minnesota Twins outfielder Byron Buxton is anything but that. Do you think he's trying to be nice when he taunts pitchers on the base path? Nah, the dude will straight up steal whenever he wants. He doesn't even try to be sneaky about it. He'll do it when everyone in the stadium expects it, just to show there's nothing anyone can do about it. This is not Minnesota nice. This is how we baseball. Get your tickets to see the Twins in action at twinsbaseball.com.
Do you have an old junk or car in the garage or on the farm? Call Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300. Get the most cash for your old junk or vehicle and have it taken away for free. Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300.
We're back live and in color from our studios in downtown Northfield, Minnesota. A friend you can count on, KYMN, broadcasting live in downtown Northfield. And we are playing the number one song of all of 1970 to honor my guest this morning, Jesse Streitz, who graduated from Northfield in 1970. Do you remember this song, Jesse?
When you're weary.
Absolutely.
Can
yeah,
you
so
name
one of,
that tune?
Well, it's A Bridge Over Troubled Waters.
That's true.
Simon and Garfunkel.
You got it. Congratulations, number one, you got it. It is 9:30, right on the nose, ladies and gentlemen. And Jesse Streitz, tell me about Al's mom and dad, your grandparents. Were they up in the St. Cloud area?
I have to admit that, because I am the youngest of the family, I have almost no remembrance of my grandparents. They had already passed away when I would probably be able to remember. Although they did come over from Germany. That was that generation, and they were immigrants and came over. My dad was born in this country, but my grandparents were born in Germany and moved and settled in the St. Cloud area. I don't know a lot about them.
How about Ruth?
Ruth, my mom, her parents also immigrated from Sweden, and when they came, they moved to North Dakota and had a homestead in North Dakota. And from what I'm told is that the it wasn't very successful. The weather wasn't very good, and farming wasn't very good, and they sold that property and then moved to the St. Cloud area. And that's where my mom met my dad then.
So you couldn't have any stories to tell about visiting Reverend Grandpa's farm during Christmas or Thanksgiving?
No, you know, I really don't. I do know that my mom, being Swedish, we always referred to my grandpa's farfar or mormor, which mormor means mother's mother, and farfar was a father's father.
Okay.
And that's the way it was done in the Swedish language, so far, far, and more and more.
Okay, so now your dad is tired of the closeness of civilization up there in Brooklyn Center, or Brooklyn Park, whatever it was, and he decides to come south, and he ends up buying some 80 acres, did you say, in Dundas?
Yeah, rural Dundas.
Whereabouts?
You know, I'm trying to remember, it's the road that goes, when you get past Menards, you turn on the Cannon City Road, but then you Y on that paved road off down there. So he's just south of where you live, and that's in that area.
That lower, they call it?
What do they call it? It's a lower something.
It's the, where do I live? I can't even tell you. Oak Hill South.
Oak Hill South,
We're upper, and they would be lower.
This was lower, and it was beyond, the end of that road. There was he had 80 acres, and it went down to the river.
Okay, so as a kid growing up there?
Oh, yes, I loved it out there. I mean, we had horses in it. Other animals, and it was a great place to grow up. It was quite remote when they moved there. In fact, they had no electricity for the first winter, and they lived there with no electricity.
And that reminds me, we'll get to your house.
Oh, sure.
Because I was there when you were just finishing up.
Sure.
You have a special house out in Bridgewater Township, aren't you?
Actually, Cannon City Township.
Oh, okay, that far.
It's really close. I'm right on the border.
Okay. So now you're growing up and you're a kid, and John's 20 years old, and I'm sure he's out of the house and gone.
He's out of the house and in the Korean War.
Oh, did he serve in Korea?
Yes, he served in Korea.
Well, you know, I'm going to ask you, did he ever talk to you about it?
He's talked to me some about it.
I mean, that was a lot of people aren't aware that Korean War was hellish.
Yeah, you know, I think MASH doesn't do it justice, of course, because it's kind of a comedy. But yet, you get some glimpse of the severity of that war.
Yeah.
And it never ended.
And it was hand-to-hand combat.
Right, right.
And it was trekking through the mountains during the winter.
And cold.
Yeah.
Very cold.
And he probably, if he saw action, he probably doesn't even want to talk about it.
You know, he says he's seen action, but he does not talk about it.
Okay.
He was, I believe, was in the supply sergeant type of, into the supplies and things.
Sure.
But he was on the front, according to what he tells me.
But how did you get to know a person 20 years older than you as a sibling?
Yes. You know, really, I like to tell people that some of my older siblings seem more like uncles and aunts to me because they were out of the house. Really, John, Joan, and Jimmy, the three oldest, were out of the house when I was born.
And what about Joan? What is she up to?
Joan worked a long time at Colligan here in Northfield. She's retired now, obviously, and just living on her own. Her husband is no longer.
Okay, and then Jimmy passed away.
Jimmy was the first one of our siblings to pass away, and he did die of lung cancer. He smoked his whole life.
He's the one that lived on 6th Street.
Yes, absolutely. Right, right.
I remember the house.
Yep, and he used to always wanted to learn to play the guitar, so he took some guitar lessons, and he loved his country music.
Did he have a son, right?
He had a son, Mark, and
Mark.
A daughter, Julie.
I remember I had a... I think it was a Yamaha dirt bike.
Sure.
And he really liked that thing.
Uh-huh.
And he asked me he could take it and fix it up.
Yes.
And a year later, hey, where's my bike? He's, oh, it's in pieces. And I remember
Jimmy,
that.
Jimmy, his dad had a, I remember the bike a little bit. I was pretty young at the time, but it was a Ducati. And one time Jimmy came home and Mark had that bike.
Mike Ducati.
Had the Ducati.
Yeah.
And Jimmy came home and Mark had that bike in pieces in the garage also.
Yeah.
And that bike never got back together again either. Yep. So maybe the two cycles, those pieces mingled a little bit.
Yeah. I had a Ducati.
Oh, you did too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I had a Yamaha.
Oh.
And the Yamaha ran evidently. The Ducati was a race bike.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of a different. And I also had another off-brand at the same time.
Sure.
So I'm sure Jimmy thought that, that Mark thought, well, he's got a bike, you know.
Right.
So I can take this apart and see if I can put it together again. That's where that Ducati went. That was, thanks for reminding me. That's what's fun about doing these shows.
Sure.
And it's 9:35, make it 9:36 here on KYMN. A friend you definitely can count on, my guest this morning, is Jesse Streitz. And we're talking about his siblings right now. And we establish, oh, Jerry's next. Now, would I have known him?
I don't think so. He lived most of his life in the cities.
Okay.
He became, he was an auto mechanic. He grew up, I should say, as he worked as an auto mechanic, it was a union shop, and he continued to rise higher and higher in the Teamsters Union until he was the president of the Teamsters in Minnesota. And so he spent a big part of his career no longer turning wrenches, but running the Teamsters, and he has a lot of stories to talk about Teamster issues and things.
I assume he's retired now.
Oh, yes, he is retired.
Maybe he could be a guest someday and tell us about it.
He probably would because he loves to talk about it.
Okay.
And some of the stories, I don't know how much truth lies in them anymore. He exaggerates, perhaps.
I had a father whom I didn't get to know very well,
mm-hmm.
and I do remember him complaining about unions, and he was a supervisor, and the bosses would tell him to shape up that union, and the union steward would tell him, we're not going to do this, and then the big, big bosses would say, you got to settle this problem. We can't have a strike. We got a new contract. It was Western Electric with telephones.
Sure, sure.
Back in the 50s, 60s. Anyhow, he did not like unions. Then I like to tell a story. I used to sweep out a barber shop, and I discovered in the closet not a carton, but a box of cartons of Camel cigarettes.
Okay.
And they were just there, and they had little signs or little printing on it saying, Happy or Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Floyd's Barbershop.
Okay.
And so I asked Floyd, he says, how come you still have all these cigarettes? And he says, well, I started giving them away, and the guy started saying, I'm not taking those because that company isn't union.
Oh, okay.
So he got stuck with all these cigarettes, and I don't know what he did with them. I don't know what I did, or he did with them.
Who would have known that a company isn't a union, that, you know, cigarette manufacturer.
Yeah, well, they're huge, and they weren't unions. So.
Well, I know, of course, I ran Streitz Heating and Cooling here for 35 years, and we did some commercial work in the metro area, but we were a non-union shop. And Jerry always told me, if you run into any union trouble, let him know, my brother Jerry, being president of the Teamsters. And we were on one job where we got picketed, and I called Jerry, and he said, okay, you know, I can call him off. And so they disappeared, and no longer was picketed. But now he said, I can't do that very often. I can call in favors occasionally, but
yeah,
you're going to have to be careful.
Was it a big job?
It was, to me, it was a big job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Once again, my guest this morning is Mr. Streitz, and Jesse is talking about his siblings right now. And now we get down to Joel.
Yes, Joel has been really an area resident his entire life, I believe. I don't think he's moved away at all. He does live in Farmington, but I still call that an area.
Yeah.
And he ran the business here in Northfield and Denison for quite a few years. He married a Murphy that is from Northfield.
Paul Murphy's daughter?
Yep. Paul Murphy's daughter, Kay.
Isn't it fun to talk about stuff that's...
Yeah, and you know some of these people.
Yeah, right.
And Paul was a great guy.
Yeah, he's a guy that says, I get up in the morning and I listen to the KYMN radio funeral reports, and if my name isn't mentioned, I get out of bed.
Yes.
And the first time he told it, and I've heard it 1,000 times since.
Right.
But the first time was Paul Murphy, and I laughed. Mm-hmm. And then another thing about Paul Murphy, he said, Wayne, I get a check once a month for twice as much as I made when I was working from his retirement.
Uh-huh.
And he lived a long time. And
he did live a long time.
I always think of Joel as the comedian in the family.
He
likes to have fun.
Yes, he does. And, you know, he would, he also liked to party a little bit, as you probably know, because I think that you liked to party a little bit at one time.
Yes, I did.
And how Joel never got into more fights, I don't know, because he would sometimes... pick on the wrong individual, but he had a way about him that it seemed like it ended up being just teasing and fun.
Yeah.
And nobody took him too seriously. He was the loudest in the family.
Yeah, I got a kick out of him. And
he
had
fun.
A motorcycle, of course,
right,
and traded that in a little car. I wonder if I don't think I know Janet.
Jeanette. Yeah, Jeanette.
Oh, I bet you she spends her lifetime correcting people.
Maybe.
Jeanette, Janet.
You know, what can I tell you about Jeanette? She, out of school, got married to a Navy guy. I think he was in the Navy, Dick Sutherland, or the Marines, I can't remember. And he, her husband worked for Excel or for NSP at that time, his entire career. He used to run the dam at Cannon Falls at Lake Bilsby and the generation of the electricity for NSP. And Jeanette went to school... primarily in Brooklyn Center, but I believe that when we moved down here, she was still in school, so she graduated from Northfield.
Oh, okay. Electricity is penny cheap from NSP to you. Hi, I'm Reddy Kilowatt. Remember that?
Yeah, Roy and somebody were the two individuals on those NSP commercials.
I think you're thinking of the Crane Bell commercials.
That could be.
Hello, I'm Stanley. I'm Albert. No, maybe you're right. I just remember Reddy Kilowatt.
Yes.
And now we're going to talk about your brother, Jeff. How much older than you would Jeff be?
Exactly. I couldn't say immediately, but I think it's about 7 or 8 years older.
Okay.
7, maybe.
So you lived with him, grew up with him.
Yes, I did grow up with him. He's one of the brothers and one of my siblings that I remember growing up with.
Yeah.
And Jeffrey graduated from Northfield. Jeffrey, out of school, we all grew up working in the heating business because my dad had a heating shop, so we all started there. Probably when we were 12 or so, you know, making little things, and then we just progressively got better at doing things. But Jeffrey worked with my dad, and then out of high school, he worked with my dad for a while, but then he went to work for Northwest Airlines at that time. And he became a sheet metal worker for Northwest Airlines working on the planes.
And he probably got a nice pension.
Yes, he did.
Retirement.
You know, my dad could not pay what they could pay, and
he
got good retirement and those kind of things.
Okay, and now we get to Judy.
Judy married Bryce Gregerson.
Oh.
Bryce Gregerson is a Northfield graduate, and Judy's a Northfield graduate. I don't know if you knew Bryce. He was a manager of Colligan for quite a few years here in Northfield. He also was a barber for a little while down there by the museum. There was a barber shop by the...
Oh, Bridge Square Barber Shop is right
there. And Bryce worked there for a while, but never made enough money, so he decided to do other things. But they moved to Two Harbors a number of years ago and ran a bread and breakfast.
Isn't this funny? My mother was from Two Harbors.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Who knows? Maybe they're in the house that my mother grew up in. So that's Judy, and now we got the one that's right next to you, Jack. How much older is Jack?
Jack is 3 years older than me.
Okay.
And he worked in the heating business for a number of years, and he worked with my brothers when they owned the sheet metal shop. And when I took over, he came to work for me, and he spent his entire career as a heating guy.
He's retired now?
He is retired now. He lives on a small farm just south of Northfield on, I don't know. I forget the names of those roads, but anyway, south of town.
Do you remember when where your old homestead was? Your
yes.
Okay, so you're going down Highway 3 south. Menards is on your right. And then you take a left on County Road 20, Cannon City Boulevard. And then you, instead of going straight up to where I live, up the hill, you take a right and you go yes. down deep into that
you
area.
Our place was at the very end. You could not go any further.
Okay. And I remember when Randy Burns built a house out there.
Absolutely. Yeah. They were close to us.
And then the Murrows lived out there. Barry Murrow's parents.
Okay, I don't know them. I know a Bernard Kennedy was out there.
Barry Murrow was received an Oscar for writing Rain Man.
Oh, really? I
yeah,
don't know.
Yeah, his parents were so, so sweet.
Sure.
And
sure.
He has a brother that lives in town here.
There was a Tuma that lives out there now in a log cabin, like, and he was a is a barber in Northfield.
What's the name?
A Tuma, I believe.
Okay.
Do you know him?
I don't.
No, okay.
And when I think Tuma, I think of two things, auto racing and Halloween parties.
Oh, yeah? But there's a story there somewhere.
Absolutely. We're going to take a break here on the Wayne Eddy Affair. Our guest this morning is a gentleman by the name of Jesse Streitz. He's retired, but he's still working. We'll explain that right after these messages.
Your vehicle's engine warning light could mean something as simple as a loose gas cap or something serious and potentially expensive if you don't address it right away. Have our professional technicians at Witt Brothers Service diagnose and fix the problem as part of your overall preventative maintenance program. It could save you from costly problems down the road. Stop by Witt Brothers Service at 701 Division Street in downtown Northfield for all of your automotive maintenance and repair needs. Your wait is over. Finally, a refreshingly affordable golf membership. As one of the finest golf facilities in the greater Twin Cities area, Northfield Golf Club membership is built upon quality with a price point that is unmatched for a private club, a true value. The course offers a variety of membership options including individual, couples, senior, young adult, and others. You're invited to compare versus private and even public golf courses. 2018 memberships now available. Call our friend General Manager Dan Doles at 507-645-4026.
At Harry Brown's Family Automotive, save up to $4,750 off MSRP on 2018 Equinox LT SUV. Select competitive owners, get another $2,500 off. Save up to $16,000 off MSRP on 2018 Silverado LT. Select competitive owners, get another $500 off. Chevy, find new roads. Harry Brown's Family Automotive in Faribault. Online at HarryBrownsGM.com.
Must finance with GM Financial. Include $750 down payment assistance on Equinox, $1,000 on Silverado. Silverado stock number 89810. Competitive make owners must prove ownership of 99 or newer non-GM vehicle. Offers end 4/30/18.
Okay, Jesse, here's the song.
Raindrops are falling on my head.
Number three in all of them.
1970.
Yeah.
This would have been a little later. That was in the 70s or in 1970?
1970.
It was 1970.
So
all right.
You know the name of the song.
I know the name of the song because it's in the title, but yeah. I'm trying to think of who sings it. Is it a... Is it start with a B?
Yes. That's the initial B.
Yeah, right. The
then it
B.
has another initial.
Drops of
one of your yes,
P.J.
yes,
Thomas or something.
Yes, that's it.
Okay.
You were paying attention to the music of 1970. Jesse Streitz, my guest, and Jesse mentioned during the break that we got to be sure to talk about your biking across America. And yes, we'll do that. But I do my interviews, and I do it chronologically.
Oh,
and if it takes more than one visit to the studios, it takes more than one visit. That's, you know, life goes on. We just, you know, say, well, we'll see you next time. So I like to get all this information. Now, if you just tuned in, Jesse Streitz, my guest, he's the youngest of the Streitz family that we know from Dundas and Bridgewater Township. John, Joan, Jimmy, Jerry, Joel, Janet, Jeff, Judy, Jack, and then Jesse, the youngest of them. And we talked about where they are at this time. And now, this place that you were living, Lower Oak Hills South, how far was that from the river?
Well, the 80 acres abutted the river.
Okay.
And... do you remember stories about the old hermit that lived out that way along the Cannon River? It seemed like everybody knew about the old hermit.
Tell me about it.
Well, you know, again, I was younger at that point, but my mom tells when she first moved there, she was probably 40 years old at the time, or 42 or something, and out there in a remote area, and this old, at the time, I suppose, old guy come walking through the yard, and she was rather frightened. But he ended up being a very nice person. But he spent his entire life in a little shack along the Cannon River. And I'm told that you can still access it through the Rice County, through the Rice County Park near you, where you go on the east side of Rice County Park, and you can walk down to the river and still see where the shack was there. Our land kind of went really close to that.
And did he have the name?
Well, I'm sure he did. I don't recall it.
And, but you called him what? The bum? Or the
yeah, you know, probably. I don't remember, Wayne.
I remember bums.
Yes, oh, from, sure.
And literally carrying a knapsack. Or yeah. Back then it was a bandana on a stick.
Sure, sure.
And they would hop trains.
Well, this guy would walk into Northfield and get his groceries and then walk back to his little shack along the Cannon River, and I guess he spent his entire life there.
I wonder if he was a member of... Tiny Johnson's character club that would meet in the basement of the, what is now the Historical Society.
I'm sure there's people in Northfield that know who I'm talking about, because he was fairly well known because it was unique.
Okay. When you were growing up back there, and your dad could use horses, but I assume he eventually got into modern machinery and farm for the family and then ran the business?
Yeah, he never really farmed per se. He would, you're right, farm for the family. We would grow our own potatoes and things and produce for us. And he would put up hay for his animals and things, but he didn't make his living at farming. He always raised rabbits. We always had anywhere from 200 to 300 rabbits. He loved rabbit meat. We would butcher every Saturday. He would freeze it and then take it to local markets, even up into the cities. Being German, Hoffenpfeffer was the German rabbit, you know. And so we grew up having rabbit sausage, rabbit stew, rabbit meat, rabbit patties, you name it.
What did you do with the ears?
Do with the ears?
Yeah.
I don't remember about that, but we would always save the lucky rabbit's foot.
Would you really?
As a kid, I would sell them, yes.
Really?
Yes, I'd get a quarter for them or something.
Oh, I remember rabbit foots being a lucky
charm. Oh, it was a big
charm.
Deal, yeah, right.
You'd put your key rings on it.
Right.
Jesse Streitz is my guest here this morning at 7 before 10 o'clock on KYMN Radio. Did you ever have an opportunity to fish out of the cannon, or was it...
I know that my brothers would go down there and fish, and I would go along and... walk along and watch them, but I didn't fish myself there. But yes, no, they would catch various things there.
Okay. Probably a lot of bullheads? Or
a lot of carp and the bullheads, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure there's other things, but I really was not a fisherman, so I don't know.
Is that farmland still in the Streitz's family?
No, it no longer is. And really, there's one of the Holden boys owns that property down in there now.
Oh, John.
And they built John lives just before there, or at least he did.
Yeah.
And then the next one, then ours was the next place, and one of his boys, I believe it was one of John's boys, I'm not positive on that, but one of the Holden boys bought that place then, and they built a new home down there because we just had a small basement house.
Okay.
I remember, there were times when there'd be six of us boys in the same bedroom. All lined up in a small... I mean, now I don't think that's even legal, but, we had a great time.
Okay.
I don't know if my mom did, but we did.
Yeah, I bet you. Did it have upstairs at all?
No.
Okay.
It was built to always be added on to a typical basement home where you'd add on, but we never did.
Speaking about John, he has... what do you call it when you have birds? They have one up at Three Links Care Center area or something like that.
Yes.
Anyhow, he has netting up, and he works with the Department of Natural Resources in regards to what type of birds are in that particular part of the river and the wooded area.
You're talking about John Holden?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he bought Barry Morrow's home.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean, I think Randy Burns' home was just before Barry's.
Right, it was.
Mm-hmm. Anyhow, isn't it fun? 5 minutes before 10 o'clock on KYMN Radio. So when did the Denison thing come about?
You know, I'm not exactly sure why my dad left the farm. There are some circumstances that I don't understand, but then they bought a home in Denison. And after he moved there, he decided to start what he called the Denison Furnace Company. And so he ran it as Denison Furnace Company out of Denison.
When you were a kid?
Yes, when I was a kid. I was in third grade when I moved to Denison. And he started Denison Furnace Company and did the heating and air conditioning business.
How'd you like that, moving to Denison area?
You know, I liked it. I enjoyed growing up in Denison. I was always I was a very active kid. So I really was instrumental in getting a Boy Scout troop started at my young age. When I was only in fourth grade, I would go around and try to find adults that would start a Boy Scout troop. And we had a really active Troop 333 out of Denison and a lot of good boys. And I remember going to Tomahawk, Scout Camp. And so we had a good time. I think the troop disbanded soon after some of us active members left. There was a Craig Holden, a Gary Johnson, a Mike Olson. Do you remember Mike Olson?
I do.
Yes, he was one of our Boy Scout members.
Who was the leader?
The leader was Mike's dad,
okay,
Howard Olson, and there was a Peters. His last name was Peters. And then we had a regional guy, Howard Gardner, out of Randolph, who would come over, and he was bigger in the Boy Scouts, higher up in the association.
Did you get up to Explorer Scout?
No, I did not. I was one merit badge away from making Eagle.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't make Eagle because at that time you had to pass the 1 mile swim. And I don't swim very well. So I could not pass that 1 mile swim. Otherwise, I would have made Eagle.
Well, that's a high ranking.
Sure.
The highest.
Right, right. It's the highest. Right.
Yeah, I remember when they had a little thing with Mark Quinnell. When he reached Eagle.
Sure, yes. And my boy, Andy reached Eagle.
Oh.
Here in Northfield.
Were you a scout leader?
I was an adult leader. When my boys were in scouts, I would go along on various things.
Okay.
But I never became an active leader like some of the people have. You know, I really admire those people that even when their kids are out of it, they still stay on as leaders. That was not me.
Who's a tall guy?
The tall guy
from Carleton
Ed
College.
Buchwald.
Yes.
Ran that. He just retired, and he had, through his career, something like 50 Eagle Scouts go through his career.
Wow.
So it was a big deal.
Yeah, he's a geologist, at Carleton.
Yes, he was the head of the Department of Geology.
When I first started this job, I had him on the air with me.
Did you?
And since then, I've learned more about geology than I knew at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So, because this show is like 12 or 13 years old, and when it first started, it was an hour show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm inviting people back because I'm learning more about them that I didn't ask the first time around.
Sure, sure.
So that's why. Jesse Streitz, by the way, is in studio here. Where was your house in Denison, or where did you live?
Well, you remember Grant Ford.
Yes, I do.
You would just turn left right at Grant Ford and go up Main Street, North Main.
Okay, by the school.
By the school. And by the way, I did attend that school. I can say I went to a one-room schoolhouse. I went there for fourth and fifth grade, and then the school closed.
But they have the big building now that's been turned into
rental property. There are apartments in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't a one-room schoolhouse.
Well, it was a four-room schoolhouse, but at the time when I went there, there was not enough students to have but one room.
Oh, okay. And so you would... So where did you live? Right near the school.
I walked across the street. Absolutely,
yeah.
Walked across the street.
Okay.
Yes.
And so did your siblings do that too? Jeff and Judy and
Jack? No, they all got bused into Northfield because at that time when I went to Denison, the school only went through fifth grade.
Okay.
My siblings were older than that, so they got bused into Northfield. But I could still go to that school.
Wish you could go with them and you had to stay in Denison?
No, I liked it in Denison.
Yeah.
It was fun there at that school.
What about Ruth and all those kids? What did you do like on breakfast?
You know, as a kid sometimes I think you just assume things and you don't know how much work it probably was. But she would be up in the morning long before we were, always making breakfast for us. And but normal things, I mean... I remember mainly having hot chocolate and peanut butter toast.
Oh, yeah. I love that. You know? Malt-o-meal?
Malt-o-meal.
Yeah.
And oatmeal.
Yep.
Sure. And cream of wheat.
And, yeah, I like all those things. But that would be ready to go in the morning. You could eat it, and kids would get on the bus. You'd walk across the street, and there you are.
Right, exactly.
All right. We're talking to Jesse Streitz. It's 10 o'clock on KYMN, 1080 Radio, Northfield, Minnesota. A friend you can count on. AM 1080, and now the one, FM 95.1, 10 o'clock.
Trump could ditch meeting, Castro out in Cuba. I'm John Trout. During a news conference with Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, President Trump said he wants to see a nuclear-free Korean Peninsula. Correspondent Will Ripley reports one holdup to a proposed summit remains the meeting location with Kim Jong-un.
It's proving to be a challenge. That was the sticking point when Mike Pompeo went to Pyongyang, and it is the sticking point right now, finding a neutral location suitable to the North Koreans and the Americans.
Trump says that meeting will not happen if he feels it's, quote, not going to be fruitful. End quote. Raul Castro has passed Cuba's presidency to Miguel Diaz-Canel, putting the island's government in the hands of someone outside the Castro family for the first time in nearly six decades.
This is an effort by Raul Castro to keep the revolution going. He's 86 years old. It's a matter of turning it over to someone younger who he can keep an eye on for the next several years.
There's Patrick Offman, who also reports the newly elected president was the only choice on the Cuban National Assembly ballot, preparing for an out-of-control crowd in Pennsylvania's second-largest city.
All detectives have been instructed to bring full uniforms and riot gear to work until further notice. Pittsburgh Police Commander Victor Joseph sent out an internal memo obtained by local media saying there is a belief Special Counsel Robert Mueller may be fired, and large-scale protests are expected in the Central Business District within 24 hours if it happens. It's unclear whether the police response is based on that. I'm Joe Ramsey.
America's jobless total is down slightly.
The Labor Department reports initial claims for state unemployment benefits fell by 1,000 to a seasonally adjusted 232,000 last week. The economy created 103,000 jobs in March, the fewest in 6 months, but economists are largely dismissing the slowdown as a payback after strong gains in February. Scott Carr, Washington.
On Wall Street, the Dow is down 79 points. I'm John Trout.
We're back live in color from our studios in downtown Northfield, Minnesota. On KYMN Radio, it's the Wayne Eddy Affair with guest Jesse Streitz. Name this tune. Jesse, this was, there's the title.
Right. No, I certainly remember it. I couldn't tell you who sang that.
Well, go ahead. Just guess who sang it. That was a hint, by the way.
No, I don't know.
Guess who?
Guess who?
Which reminds me, you graduated in 1970. You were 18 or turning 18 years old. What about you and the military?
I got a draft number when I was in college. I went to college 1 year at the University of Minnesota, and then I transferred to Mankato State, we called it at that time. And when I was there, I got a draft number. I got a high enough number so I did not have to go in the military.
Okay.
I remember thinking about what I was going to do if my number was getting closer. And at that time, I was really hoping that if it did get where I was going to get drafted, where I could sign up just before I'd get drafted and try to get into the military band.
Oh.
And avoid having to go to Vietnam and serve.
Yeah.
But that never came about.
Okay. Jesse Streitz, my guest on KYMN Radio. We're still in Denison. You live across the street from the old school there. And you're growing up with nine siblings. Some of them, of course, have left home. There's a 20-year difference between your oldest brother, John, and you. So tell me how your dad started that tin shop, if that's what it was called back, and when did that happen?
Well, the one in Denison, you know, when he moved to Northfield, he went to work for the sheet metal shop called Hacks Sheet Metal.
Hacks?
No, Hacks.
Okay.
His last name was Hackerson. Actually, I think Hackerson was a former mayor of Northfield.
Yeah.
I can't remember his first name. Al Hackerson, maybe? But anyway, he had Hacks Sheet Metal. And he was a Waterbury dealer, a Waterbury Furnaces. And my dad and Jimmy and Joel went to work for Hackerson. And then Hackerson went out of business, and that's when my dad started his own shop.
Was Zahnmiller's
Zahnmiller's was in business at the same time, and they were competitors, absolutely.
Okay. Zahnmiller's was down where Basil Pizza is, right in that area?
Right, right. And yes, I think that they might have actually been in the, you know, it's at a clothing store now, or why can't I say their name? That building over there, he does silk screening, he'll print.
Oh, yeah, Larson's.
Larson's, yeah, thank you. Thank you.
And then where was Hack's?
Where's Hack?
Yeah,
Hackerson.
Yeah.
And Hack Sheet Metal. If you just went up the street from the quarterback club, when I say up the street, you know, west, from the quarterback club, you'd go up to, is it Spring? And you would turn left on Spring, and there was a long block building back there.
Oh, yeah, that white one.
Still there, yeah, the white one, and that's where his shop was.
Guess what? There's a fellow by the name of Cleep Thill that used to be the Chamber of Commerce director.
Okay.
And he's in Colorado now, but him and I were friends, and we were going to buy that white building.
Okay, sure.
And you know, I was on radio, so I didn't have a whole lot of money.
Right.
And we figured we could lease it out, and you know what? Sheldon leased it for years, if they still do.
I seem to remember that. Yes, yeah. Right.
And it would have been a good deal.
That was the building that Hack Sheet Metal was in.
Okay. And now it's the end of the Soapbox Derby that we have in Northfield. We can't use the word Soapbox Derby. The Raider Derby, which starts in front of St. John's, goes down a block towards Highway 3, then takes an immediate right, goes down a block, then takes an immediate left.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a finish line right by that building you're talking
about. All right. I didn't know that.
And those go-karts have to be able to turn left and right.
Sure.
Not just straight.
Right.
So Saturday, it's done Saturday mornings during Defeated Jesse James Days. Don't miss it.
I won't.
All right.
I've never been to it.
Yeah, it's really amazing. You'd like it. We're going to take a brief break, and this is from our friend. I bet you know him. Do you know Dick Simon?
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
And Dick Simon has a message.
When you need cement or masonry work done, think of DNS Cement in Northfield. DNS Cement provides superior concrete and masonry work. They pour walls for both home and business. Poured walls provide more strength and are more energy efficient. DNS also does concrete driveways, swimming pool decks, and has decorative concrete too. They'd be happy to provide you with an estimate and go over all of your plans. If you're building, contact DNS Cement in Northfield at 507-663-1294.
Why do birds suddenly appear?
You know the song. Can you name it?
I know the song.
Every time you are near, just
a brother
like
and
me.
Sister act.
They long to be
close to you.
Why
we are talking to Jesse Streitz on KYMN Radio. And Jesse, I want you to know that you did something that I certainly could have never have done, and that you have traveled the USA on your bicycle, and we will talk about that.
Sure.
I do know that we rode together on our motorcycles.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, you took me on a loop I hadn't thought about, and that was County Road 20. And then there's a road you take a right, and then you go over to Highway 3.
Right.
And you go over a bridge. That's by the Nature Center, I think.
Right, right. Yeah. I'm trying to remember. I don't quite recall, but anyway, we had a good ride. I remember that.
Yeah, it was at sunset. And so, you know, when we were going west, the beautiful sunset, it was cool out and free.
Now, do you still have a motorcycle?
Yeah, I have a trike, you know.
You have a trike, sure. Is that... Did you trike the motorcycle that you had, or you bought a trike?
I bought a trike.
You bought a trike.
Yeah. And I've had it for years. As a matter of fact, it has carburetors.
Oh, it does. Yeah. Yes. So it was a pre 98 or something.
It's 2000.
It's 2000.
25th anniversary of Honda.
Yeah.
And the
so
next
it's a 1500.
Yes.
Yes.
And then, of course, they come out with the 1800s.
Right.
And with the... fuel injection.
With fuel injection. I have an 1800 now.
You do?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
A Honda?
The Honda 2005, I believe it is.
Okay, that's a nice bike.
Right.
What color is it?
It is a silver.
Okay.
Medium silver color.
You ever cross country with that one?
I haven't crossed country, but my wife and I have been on many rides around the country, but we have not crossed the country.
Okay.
No. There are times on my bike trip where I wish I had a throttle.
I want to hear about that. And we definitely will get that in if it takes two or three interviews. But I'm still interested in Denison. Now, the buildings along Denison on the east side of the main street, first of all, it used to be Grant Ford.
Right. Right.
And then there have been bars and restaurants that have been in and out of that place. And
that's right.
I can't keep up to them. I know that there are pretty good stories about one of the bars that isn't the woman doesn't own it anymore.
Right, right.
Ruby's, I think it was called.
Ruby's, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And anyhow, as a kid growing up, that you're just down the street from all the farmers that would come in and particularly after planting and then after harvesting.
Mm-hmm.
And they would go to what is now Fireside Lounge.
At that time, it would have been Whipple's when I was
Yeah,
there.
That's right. I met her.
Yes.
Yeah, Mrs. Whipple.
Mrs. Whipple and then George Whipple.
George. Husband. Right, okay. Thank you. You're bringing back memories for me, too. And then up and down the street, there were two or three
yes,
bars
there was.
And the post office.
The other bars that are further south have changed hands more often. And I can't even tell you some of the people who had them. But Whipple's became Gary Schutzley had bought it from the Whipples. And then after that, I think Joe out of Dundas, you know, bought it and has the
Joe Amy
now. Yeah,
yeah,
Joe Amy, yeah.
Yeah, he's been there a long time now.
He's been there quite a while.
Okay. So what was it like? Did they have movies on the side of the walls or anything like that in my childhood?
Yeah, you know, we did, yes. Yeah, so we did have outdoor movies. I think in the summer they came once a week. I believe it was a traveling gentleman who would travel around to rural communities and would set up these outdoor movies, and they'd set up a big screen. And we did it on the grounds of the schoolhouse. And that was just coming to an end when we moved there, but I do remember that.
Did your mom make you popcorn and send you across the street?
Well, I don't know that my mom made me popcorn, but I would go across the street, and I think they had things to buy there, and I probably bought things.
I remember as a kid seeing those, and Coca-Cola was nickel.
Sure, sure, absolutely. Yeah.
And then you would, as I got older, I think they became a dime, and then you would, did you ever play this game where you would get your Coca-Cola out of a vending machine, and you would turn it upside down to see where the bottling company was from? Whether it was Atlanta or St. Paul or Tempe and whoever had the furthest away bottling company would have to pay whoever else was in your group.
No, you know, I seem to remember stories about that, but we never did that.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember doing that. I remember spinning the Coke bottle in a group.
Sure.
You know, where you'd spin the Coke bottle, and then there's various things where I would stop and point.
Yeah.
You might have to kiss that person or something.
Yeah, spin the bottle.
Yeah, spin the bottle. I don't remember the rules. I'm not sure there were a lot of rules, but I do remember doing that.
I haven't thought of that for a while. Spin the bottle.
Spin the bottle, yeah.
To get a kiss.
Now we talk about Coke and we're not talking about pop, probably.
Yeah, well, okay.
Yeah.
So when you got to go to elementary school, did you go to Sibley?
When we, yes. When they closed the Denison School, I went to Sibley for sixth grade.
In the shop, did your dad own that building?
He owned that building, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, that's kind of a narrow...
Long, narrow building.
Yeah, long and narrow.
Right, right.
Was that built for him, or was it there?
No, the front part of the building was there, and he bought it, and that was actually an egg production place where they... some farmer raised lots of chickens, and they processed the eggs there. It was known as the egg building when my dad bought it.
Okay.
And I know no more about it than that, but that's what it was originally built for, some sort of a hatchery.
Okay, so now your dad got all these kids, and he's into heavy heavy work. I mean,
right, right.
Does he insist, or do you all want to work in the shop?
You know, I would say that we wanted to. I don't remember him ever saying that you're going to come here and work. We just found that we could make a little money doing it, and it was fun work.
Okay, so in 1970, when you were a senior in high school, KYMN Radio had been here for 2 years.
Right.
And so I would have been out visiting the shop.
I remember you.
You do?
Yeah, I do remember you coming out there, and I remember you and Joel and Jimmy having a good time.
Yeah, yeah. And it was fun. Nice guys, and you were just a young man.
Yeah.
And
yep.
But what about the work that you did? It seems to me there was a lot of warping noise with metal. You know, like you'd hear it shaking. I guess you guys would then form it.
Yeah.
Was that connected to your job as a installer of furnaces? Or was it a shop that worked with sheet metal to build things for other people?
Sure, sure. Primarily, my dad's business and our business would be installing new furnaces and air conditioners in existing homes and doing all the ductwork in new homes. However, at that time, especially back in the 60s and 70s, a lot of farmers would come in with things, guards off of equipment, combines, pulley guards, things that they needed fabricated. And my dad and us would fabricate metal parts for them. When Joel and Jimmy had it, which was the late 70s, no, 74, 75, I think, in there, when they took over, maybe even earlier, I don't remember that exactly. But anyway, Joel did a lot of the guard work for Northfield Foundry. So he'd fabricate all of the guard work for the Northfield woodworking equipment.
What is guard work?
Guard work would be guard work is stuff that would guard or protect the operator. So things that were spinning and moving, OSHA might require that they be protected so somebody couldn't get their hand in there. Those were guards.
But my first thought was, well, heck, Northfield Foundry, they work with metal. Why wouldn't they do it themselves?
Yeah, they work with heavy metal and castings and foundry work, and they really didn't do the sheet metal work.
Okay.
And not that they couldn't have, but I suppose they just found it was just as inexpensive to have someone make it for them. And so Joel laid out all those original patterns, and he kept those patterns, and we have them, some of them, I think, to this day.
You say patterns, and I wouldn't even have thought of that, but you design and then make a pattern.
Right, because you wouldn't lay out a pattern each time, because laying out patterns for certain guards could take hours, and if you were going to know that you're going to have to make it again, well, then you would save that pattern and hang it on the wall, mark what it was for, and when they needed one, you'd pull it down.
So when you were a kid, you helped your dad. Now, when did your parents pass away?
My dad passed away, I was thinking about that the other day, I think 1989. And my mom about 10 years later.
So it's about 29 years ago.
Yes, it would be now, wouldn't it?
19 years ago.
Yes, 19. Mm-hmm.
Okay, where did your mom live after your dad passed away?
Well, she continued to live for a little while in Denison, but it was best, we all thought, and she agreed for her to move into Northfield. And she moved into an apartment across from the old middle school, those brick buildings there across from the Northfield Middle School, just south of there, just up here, those, I think they're, do you remember where Dan Freeman used to live?
Yeah.
Right next door to Dan Freeman in those apartments.
Oh, across from Benson
right,
Funeral
right,
Home.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Okay. And so you kept check on her and
right,
all
right,
that,
right,
and
right, yes.
Help her get groceries and things.
Both my parents, I feel, were very fortunate in that they passed away quite quickly. They never spent any time in a nursing home. They were living pretty independent, and then just passed away.
Heart
best
attack?
We can hope for.
Heart attacks, or
yeah, you know, I think my mom probably was a stroke, but my dad's was a heart attack.
Okay, and well into their age.
Yes, right.
Big family of 10. Do you remember when the last time all 10 of Ruth and Al's children and Ruth and Al took a picture?
We have a picture for their 50th wedding anniversary at the outdoor pavilion at the Odd Fellows home. You know that outdoor pavilion there? And we had their 50th wedding anniversary. And I do remember that we were all there for that, and many of the grandchildren, because, of course, my mom had, I believe it was 30, my mom and dad had 34 grandchildren. Then there was great-grandchildren, so there's quite a bunch of us. And we would continue until just up a few years ago, all of the Straitses get together for Christmas. My mom and dad wouldn't be there because they're no longer around, but we are not doing that anymore. People are too spread out now.
Is that good or bad?
I think that, my wife and I were one of the siblings really trying to keep that going. So we felt it was a bad thing that we didn't get together once a year.
Well, do you still, I can see where John was like an uncle.
Yes.
Your oldest brother, and you're the youngest. But I would see that perhaps you'd have closeness with Jack, Judy, and Jeff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we still get together.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I can see where the older ones are, older.
Right. Yeah, really a different generation, if you would. You grew up with different songs, and you grew up with different, different history and different presidents, and so it is a different generation. I mean, my oldest brother was the Korean War.
Yeah.
And I was more of the Vietnam era, so we have different memories, and you don't share those then.
Isn't it terrible? You remember things by the wars.
Yes, yes.
Like, I'm Second World War.
Yes.
I'm Korea.
Sure.
I'm Vietnam. Mm-hmm. I'm Afghanistan. And
I wish there was other things that we could associate like that.
Can you name all the presidents that since you've been alive?
Yes.
And you were born in 1952.
Yes, 52. I think I can name them all.
Okay, go.
Yeah. Okay, well, when I was born, I suppose it would have been Truman, and then Eisenhower, then JFK, then Lyndon Johnson, then Nixon. Nixon then was succeeded by Ford. Ford would have lost to Carter. Carter, and then it became Reagan after Carter, I believe. And then after Reagan, it was the one of the Bushes, H, Barbara Bush and H, what is it, George H, or E. Bush anyway. And then Clinton, and then the other Bush, George Bush, and of course now we have, then we had Obama, and then now Trump.
Very good.
I think that's correct.
I'm in my head, I'm going with you, and you're right, and the only way I can say I'm older than you is that I was, I lived during the Roosevelt era.
Sure, absolutely.
And he had four terms.
He had four terms. He didn't make all four terms, but he was elected to four terms.
Yeah, and then, of course,
Truman.
Truman won that election, and I remember the Eisenhower election, and I had little buttons that I got from evidently a headquarters in Indianapolis for the political party, and it had "I like Ike."
Yes,
and
right.
I liked it, as I didn't know one from another, but
right.
I liked that. I like Ike, and they gave me all the buttons I wanted. It was the kind of button where I had a little piece of tin, and you'd bend it down.
Yes,
and I'd have them on my pockets. Okay. I'd have them on my spokes on my bike and all that. And I remember asking my dad when he was home, "Who are you going to vote for, Stevenson or Eisenhower?"
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Well, that's my personal information that I'll do in the booth. You pick your own candidate."
Right. Sure.
Oh, okay. Well, Stevenson was an egghead.
Yep.
And I like Ike. He was a general. So I didn't, of course.
And I think Eisenhower became a pretty popular president.
Good golfer.
Was he? Yeah, I wouldn't know that. But I do know that he was a strong military person. However, he really ended up writing a book warning us of the militarization of our country and how the military can really dominate and take over. And I thought that was odd point of view coming from a military man, but it's well quoted to this day about his concern about the military.
Now, can you name all of the mistresses these presidents have had?
Well, I don't know how I would do that, but...
Okay. Well, Eisenhower had one.
He probably did.
Well, he did. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, of course, Kennedy did.
Yeah, Kennedy, famous with... yeah. Marilyn Monroe.
Truman, of course, not. I mean, Truman was a good old guy.
Now, do you remember how old were you when Truman was president? Do you remember, wasn't that the election where the press jumped the gun and said, Dewey defeats Truman?
Yeah.
And that press came out, but it was wrong? And
yeah.
Truman actually won. But do you remember that?
I remember about it. I don't remember that day.
Sure, sure.
But I remember about it.
Sure, you know, it was a big deal.
The parents and uncles talking about it.
Sure.
What a fiasco the media made in that regard. And they could have almost done it in this past presidential election.
Right.
Well, we're going to take a break. We're talking to Jesse Streitz. We're getting all the information about his being a kid in Denison and the youngest of 10 children to the parents of Al and Ruth Streitz.
The skills you can develop as a soldier in the Army National Guard can give you an edge in the high-tech job market of tomorrow. The Guard offers career training to take advantage of your skills in science, technology, engineering, and math that can help give you a leg up to a high-paying and rewarding STEM profession. Get a head start on your career while earning money to pay for college. Log on to NationalGuard.com to learn about all of the STEM career opportunities in the Army National Guard. Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Flexion Care Suites on the campus of Three Links here in Northfield offers comfort care in a home-like environment. We provide compassionate, specialized end-of-life care to residents and families during phases of an incurable illness. We have a wonderful staff that provides the highest quality of care, supporting each resident's personal wishes. I am Susan Samuelson, Clinical Nurse Manager of Reflections. You can call me at 664-8809 for a tour of this beautiful facility.
Benjamin Bus and Northfield Lines has an excellent team of drivers with over 400 years of combined safe driving. They're proud of their record and accomplishments, as well as the records and accomplishments of all the Raiders sports teams, and would like to wish them ongoing success. For shuttle services, events, and other transportation needs, contact Benjamin Bus and Northfield Lines, your trusted friend on the road. And go Raiders!
Remember this one?
I remember the song. The performer, not so.
Lord. Number 9 in all of 1970 on the Billboard Top 100, Edwin Starr and a thing called War.
I remember it, but...
All right. I wouldn't expect you to know that one either.
Right. I didn't know we were going to have this musical quiz. I might have listened to some more 70s and honed up on it.
You know, I do this with everybody, and it amazes me. Some people have no idea of any of the songs that were the top 10.
Sure.
They just weren't into pop music.
Right.
And then others, they can say, oh, Frankie Valli.
Right.
Boom, and name the tune just like that. So it's a little fun, and,
sure,
and it brings back memories
it'll
for
bring
you
back memories.
On some of the songs. Now you get to go to school in Northfield. You get to get on the school bus.
Right.
And where were you going to go, and at what grade?
Well, I went to Sibley in sixth grade. And then I went to middle school at the old middle school, of course.
White Center.
Yes, yeah, in seventh, eighth, and ninth grade, because it went through ninth grade. And then I was, I went to the high school. I went to the new high school. I believe the new high school was built in 66.
Or 7, maybe.
And I started going to school there in 1967.
Okay.
So I think it was 1 year after it was built that I started.
Okay. Well, tell me about, who were your gym teachers at?
I remember Mr. Westerlin.
Yeah.
Wasn't his son Johnny West the famous?
Johnny Western.
Johnny Western, yeah, that sang some Paladin.
Paladin, do you roam?
I remember him.
He shot an 81 when he was 81 years old.
Really?
That's pretty good.
Did.
At the Northfield Golf Club.
But anyway, I do remember him. I think at the time I had him, actually, he was kind of a substitute. I remember Arnie Nelson being an athletic coach. And I remember Birkbaum, of course, his, I think his son now is the basketball coach.
That's correct.
It was his dad.
Al Birkbaum.
Al Birkbaum, I remember him.
He just passed away.
Yep, I remember Hill.
Don
Hill.
Football coach.
Yep, and then I remember the wrestling coach of Peterson.
Yeah, Howard.
Howard Peterson, yes.
Mm-hmm. Good. How about Jed? Jed.
Oh, Jed, sure. I had him as a, I think, a social studies in eighth grade. He was our teacher. I don't know that I had him in gym or not.
Okay, Jed Domeyer.
Jed Domeyer, yes, absolutely.
All right, and it's fun to hear those names. A lot of people listening have had those same teachers, and brings back some pleasant memories. I remember a fella that had nothing but, he told me this, he had nothing but dislike towards a shop teacher.
Ah, oh, maybe Fred Simonich?
Amen, that's what it is.
Fred Simonich was a football coach for a number of years. Very strict gentleman.
Yep.
And when you were in shop with him, you paid attention.
And here's the story. When he was in high school, he could not stand Simonich.
Mm-hmm.
When he got out of high school and became a professional businessman, years later, he said, you know, that guy was right on. He was a good teacher.
I remember in middle school, we had to wear belts and your pants. I mean, you just had to wear a belt. If you showed up to school without a belt, you got in trouble. Now, I don't know where the logic of that policy was, but it was a policy. And if you didn't have a belt, the principal sent you down to see Fred Simonich. And he had a collection of ugly belts. And he would give you the ugliest belt, and you had to wear that all day. And then you returned it to Fred Simonich. I also remember if you got in trouble in his class when you were in, this was in middle school, this is a number of years ago. He had a hook on the wall, and you may not believe this, but he would literally pick you up. He was a big guy, and hang you by that hook from your belt. And you might be up there for 5 minutes in front of the class hanging from this hook. And so everybody that knew him had stories to tell about Fred Simonich, but because I loved industrial arts, he knew Joel and Jimmy that were there before me, and Jeff. He really took a liking to me, so I got along very well with Fred Simonich.
Now, I've heard a lot of stories about Fred, and they even had a golf tournament in his name here in Northfield, but I had never heard the hang by the belt story, and I do believe it.
Yes.
One time I was going up the downstairs at Harding High School in St. Paul, and the assistant principal grabbed me and slammed me up against the lockers, and of course, when they do that, the noise is something else. And of course, bam! All this noise, and you could just see all the kids stop, turn around and look, and it was like, oh, Wayne's in trouble again.
Yeah.
But, you know, today you'd sue him.
No, and you just don't do that. And I'm not even condoning and saying it was the right thing to do, but it was an era. It was the way it was.
Yeah.
It was a stricter community.
Yep. Yeah. And that's the way it was. I think there was a TV, Edward R. Murrow, I think, did that. Or anyhow, so
it could have been Walter Cronkite.
You could have been.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Let's get you out of the middle school, and now you're going to go to high school. Now you go to high school in the 10th grade, and you have had all of these siblings that have already gone through, and were you a nervous kid, like, oh boy, high school, or was it like, I can't wait to get there?
You know, sometimes I think I was a little more out of it than some people might, but it never really bothered me. Nothing like that would ever bother me. I minded my own business. And if I got teased, it wasn't for long because it never bothered me, and it was just not fun for someone to tease me about anything. I did have older brothers that would protect me.
Okay.
So, and Jack was sort of a tough guy. At least he thought he was, and he probably was. And nobody would pick on me because they knew that they would have to deal with Jack.
That's cool.
So I had some older brothers, and maybe the older brothers didn't have that, but I had that.
Now, speaking about that, you and Jack are, 2 years apart?
Yeah, 3 years.
3 years. Did you ever come to a time at home when you'd get into an argument or a fight?
Oh, man, yes.
Think that you could take Jack?
Yeah, you know, Jack would win all the time until I got older and started to fight back. It didn't matter if you won, but once you started to fight back, it was no longer fun anymore for Jack, yeah. You know, because he might still win, but somebody was going to get hurt.
Yeah.
And that's when it kind of stopped the fighting, you know, physically.
Yeah.
But sure, of course, being brothers and so on, you know, we had a lot of disagreements.
What was your television life like? Can you remember?
Oh, I remember television, of course. And it's funny now when if you go to a museum and you see one of those TVs, you know, black and white and fuzzy, and you had your vertical control and your horizontal control, and they were always rolling in the wrong direction. I remember those things, you know. But I remembered simply in the evening, my parents would turn on the TV. That was back in the days when the kids did not pick the channel. You know, it was picked by the parents. So it was Lawrence Welk. It was Gunsmoke. It was those things. And you didn't have a remote control, so you didn't get up to change channels. You watched what was on. And I would come home from school, though, and I had a chance to watch Leave It to Beaver and those kind of shows. You know, Father Knows Best.
Did you ever watch Casey Jones?
Oh, I do remember that. Yes, I do.
11?
Yes, I do remember that. Yep. And
Roger Awesome was his name.
Yep. And he Nurse was, somebody. Nurse, what was her name?
I can't remember her name.
Yeah.
Nurse Nancy?
Maybe.
Yeah, but she was with, I think, CCO.
Axel.
With Axel and his dog. Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I was in English class with Roger Awesome, who was Casey Jones.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
And now he took a liking to me, and I took a liking to him.
Really?
And I'll never forget, I said, Mr. Awesome, he had graduated from McAllister, which mm-hmm. is, you know,
right,
like there with Carleton.
Yes.
Anyhow, why would you be in school teaching us when you are on television and you make all that money?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Wayne, I'm glad you asked that. In the broadcast industry, you don't know if you have a job tomorrow.
Sure.
And I'll never forget that.
Right, right.
You don't know.
And you also found out that not everybody, in fact, that most people probably didn't make a lot of money in broadcasting.
No.
There was a few individuals that probably did, but generally speaking, most people made a living wage.
Yep. One of his jobs was station identification, and I went and visited him one night, and that was his responsibility, and he mm-hmm. was showing me around, and every hour he'd step into this booth that was the size of a very small closet with a microphone and a headset, like
yes,
you're wearing.
Right.
And then somebody from the camera director would point at him, and he'd say, WTCN, Minneapolis, St. Paul. That's
and
it.
That's it.
We waited around for an hour for you to do that. There's yep. a union for you.
Sure, absolutely.
Jesse Streitz is my guest here on KYMN Radio. We now have him in high school. And that clarinet that you played, when did you start playing?
Sure. You know, you talk about the athletic coaches, and I remembered a number of them. But I remember all of my music teachers better because, of course, yeah. I was very interested in
Name
music.
Some.
But James Anderson was the instructor, instrumental instructor. And then Yosh Mirakami was the voice instructor.
I lived across the street from him.
Sure. And he was a great voice instructor, I'm told. I was not a singer, but I was told that he was a great voice instructor. And then, of course, we have Paul Stoughton was the orchestra director. And did you ever know Paul Stoughton?
I don't think
he
so.
He was here for a long time.
Yeah.
He got to be quite old before he retired. But anyway, I started clarinet with James Anderson at the end of fourth grade, during the summer of fourth grade, before fifth grade. That's when you usually start an instrument. I couldn't. My dad had an old clarinet because my dad was a clarinet player. But I wanted to take clarinet in the worst way. But it had a broken mouthpiece. And there was not a lot of money in the family. So I could not start taking clarinet lessons because I had no mouthpiece for that clarinet. It had a little chip on the corner of the mouthpiece, so it would not play. But I wanted to play so badly that before the summer of fifth grade, or before the summer of sixth grade then, I had whittled a piece of wood and was able to glue it onto that mouthpiece and shape it and make it work. So I could then start taking clarinet lessons with that old clarinet. It was a silver metal clarinet.
And clarinet because your dad had played and one was available.
It. Yep, and he used to play, and he played saxophone, too. And he, and his uncle, Herb Straits, was the band director at Waseca for 35 years.
Wow.
And my dad and my uncle Herb would play during the 30s and 40s in a lot of the area big bands, because that was the era of the big band sound. Mm-hmm. So I grew up with hearing that music a lot. So anyway, I just took to it. I don't know. There's no particular reason why I liked the music. I just happened to be kind of good at it. And when you're good at something, well, then you want to continue with it.
Now, do you still play?
I still play.
Okay.
I was a music major for a year at the University of Minnesota.
Oh.
I took lessons from the principal clarinetist with the Minnesota Orchestra, a gentleman named Claude Williams at the time. And I was taking lessons from him. And you grow up always the best in your air, you know, like I was always first chair in Northfield Band and stuff because I was just fairly good. When I was a senior, I was playing in the Carleton College Orchestra.
Wow.
So I thought I was pretty good.
Yeah.
But you go to the University of Minnesota, you start studying with some of these top people, and you find out that you're really not that good. You have a long ways to go. And he really told me, you know, that, Jesse, I don't think that you're going to make it as a performing career or in the performing a career. And it's hard to hear because at that point I wanted to be a performance major where I would get a job with an orchestra and perform and play professionally.
You wanted to be Benny Goodman?
Well, that would have been something, of course, but no, more than likely you'd get a position with a major orchestra,
okay,
something like that. But he said, you know, you will be very good, but you'll probably get stuck in what we would call AAA ball. You know, in baseball, you have the A and AA and AAA, but to make that jump to the majors takes a very special thing. For instance, in the Minnesota Orchestra, you may have 500 people try out for a clarinet position. You have to be number one out of those 500 people. So reality sets in, and you say, well, he told me, Jesse, you could go to France and study clarinet for 10 years and come back, and you might get a job.
Well,
I wasn't willing to do that.
On Monday, I had Jerry Lance on, and he's the conductor of the Rochester Symphony Orchestra.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And that was his second appearance on my show.
Okay.
And he's got to come back because I haven't gotten him through.
Sure.
But I'm very fascinated by him, and he speaks a language that I'm not familiar with, but mm-hmm. I'm not naive enough not to say, what does that mean?
Sure.
And
sure.
So I'm getting a lesson as long as our listeners, and then there are people that know and feel good about themselves that they know.
Sure.
So one of the questions one of the statements I made was, if I had learned to play the piano, it would really be fun because when you're home alone, you know, they say dance as if nobody's looking. You could, you know, if you're in a bad mood, you could pound something out. If you're in a great mood, you can play some beautiful things. And he told me that he only reads music when he plays a piano.
Okay.
Okay, so my question to you, Jesse Straits, a clarinetist, have you ever used the clarinet just at home, by yourself, and just play whatever you want and enjoy it?
All the time.
Oh, really?
Almost. I won't say every day, but every other day I practice. And when you practice, if you're going to get better, you need some discipline. But so when I practice, if I practice for an hour, I might practice an hour. I might practice 20 minutes on scales, where you're just doing all the different scales and the arpeggios and the thirds and all that core work that you need to be a good clarinetist or trumpet player or whatever instrument you're on. Rather boring stuff to study, but I still have to do it every day or whenever I can. And then I would spend 20 minutes on a solo piece that I might be working on, whether it be a Weber concerto or a Mozart concerto, something I'm working on for a major thing. And then 20 minutes out of that hour, I'd take and have fun. Just play old tunes, things I enjoy. And that would be my typical hour of practice. I have been studying relatively recently with a gentleman from Shanghai, China, one of the top clarinetists in the world. I get on Skype with him. He happens to be the clarinet professor at Baylor University at Waco. And him and I get on Skype, and I have lessons with him yet to this day.
You have to mail him a check?
I mail them a check. We've got to know him personally, and we've gone down there and helped him with various things. In fact, he met a gal from San Diego who was also from Shanghai. He was single at the time, 34 years old, and he had nowhere. They wanted to get married. So my wife arranged his wedding, and they got married in Northfield, these two people from Shanghai, China. Their parents came and stayed at our house, and they got married here in Northfield. So they became good friends.
At a church?
Yes, at a church, at the Methodist church, I believe it was.
Okay, by siblings.
Yes, right.
Well, that's kind of a...
Yes. And we have since seen their parents again, and of course we have been invited to China to stay with them, but we have not done
that
yet.
Have you had a desire to do that?
You know, China's never been high on my list as a country to go to, but I should do it while I have the opportunity to have what I'd call personal guides, you know, when I was there. It would really be worthwhile.
You know, see the Great Wall.
A number of things.
Those buried soldiers.
Whatever that is. But I know what you mean.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, that's interesting.
Been there?
No, but
But you've read about it.
When it comes up on National Geographic, yeah, you just look at that in awe. How many centuries ago those things were buried?
Yeah, I know.
And it just blows the mind, you know?
Yeah.
So, but you've had the opportunity to get around the States, and we'll get to that. But right now it's 14 minutes before 11 o'clock the time. And, of course, you're listening to The Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN 1080 AM radio or 95.1 The One FM. And, of course, Jesse, in the time that I've known you, KYMN Radio was a daytimer, and then it got some nighttime power for the AM, and then Jeff gets the FM here, and how I wish this would have been in place 50 years ago.
Sure, absolutely. But, it was the way it was, and you did what was available. I remember, though, I think you were the one that brought AM stereo.
Yes, here. Thank you.
Yes, and I remember that.
I
there weren't enough radios.
Very good.
That were receiving stereo, but it was certainly a good concept.
Yep. March 3rd, 1983, 6 a.m., the first radio station in America between Los Angeles and New York. We were the third on, but the first in this whole strip of the middle of the country.
Yes, yeah.
And before WCCO and others.
Certainly, AM was that was radio. There was no FM for a long time, but it's amplitude modulation and more susceptible to interference from storms and things, where FM is much clearer. So FM did kind of take over with the frequency modulation. After I left the University of Minnesota, I did transfer then to Mankato, and I became a student down at Mankato. I continued to play and take music lessons at Mankato, but I switched my majors to industrial arts, and I became an industrial arts teacher. And I ended up teaching here at Northfield in industrial education.
Gee, I never knew all this stuff.
Yeah, and then I did some graduate work at Mankato, and I taught at Mankato as a grad student in the industrial education department.
Well,
but electronics was one of my specialties, so that's why I can talk about radio a little bit
happens. I'm sitting here going, hey, this guy knows what he's talking about, and I appreciate that, but the way I take advantage of it is, if you're out on a lake fishing, do you fish?
Some.
Okay, you could have your FM radio or your AM radio. Well, you'd have to have the AM radio on because you can hear the ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch of the lightning miles away.
Yes.
And know it's time to get off the lake.
Yep.
But if you're listening to FM, you just get hit by the thunderstorm.
Yeah. And then the other interesting thing about AM I found was that you got the AM skip. I remember as a kid listening to the Grand Old Opera being broadcast from, I forget the call letters of that down in Nashville, but there was a radio station, and with the right atmospheric conditions, we would get the skip from Nashville so we could hear the Grand Old Opera in the evening.
And
you don't get that with FM. That goes straight out to space.
Yeah, you don't. 1,000 watts on AM pushes out a lot farther than 5,000 watts on FM.
Sure.
And it does. More power you got, the less the differences in distance.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So.
Okay.
But You're talking about the ionosphere.
Yes.
Where the skip wave is.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to be off the air at night so that KRLD in Dallas, Texas.
Oh, really? That
far? On 1080. And
didn't get interference and didn't get stepped on.
One in Hartford, Connecticut.
Really?
Okay. And I'm not recalling the calls right now, but they were on 1080R.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had stations go off the air, so these big, powerful 50,000-watt stations like WCCO
sure.
Could reach people in case of a national emergency or tornadoes or mm-hmm. blizzards. And then the country, there was an FM station, if there was a Hardee's drive-in, the town had an FM station. And so I'm out in Washington arguing with the big boys and the FCC about people in Northfield, Minnesota have a radio station. They don't have to worry about Dallas, Texas telling when our tornadoes are
right,
coming because
right.
they aren't going to do that. They're only doing the what they call it, the complex or whatever. Anyhow,
mm-hmm.
hundreds, thousands of dollars on attorneys trying to get done
sure.
Didn't happen exactly the way I would have wanted it, but at least there's something here that Jeff
well, Kim Radio's still
of.
Here, and yeah. so you must have done something right, because yeah. we're still here, we're still on the air.
1968, September 27th, will be 50 years old. And speaking about KYMN Radio, if it wasn't for our good friends that sponsor our shows, we wouldn't be here, so listen to this one, Jesse.
It takes special skills to be a Daikin Comfort Pro. Let's listen in as he senses an old, inefficient system's imminent demise.
So costly. Tormented by an ongoing battle over the thermostat. Its days are numbered.
You got all that by waving your hand in the air in our living room?
Get to know your local Daikin Comfort Pro.
This is Andy Streitz with Streitz 72 Degrees, your local third-generation business. Call me at 645-4040 or StreitzHeating.com.
Now, do you feel a sense of pride when you heard
absolutely,
that?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I still have a recording of my dad doing a commercial, a short recording of that. And I have no other recordings of my dad's voice, so I'll still play that once in a while, that commercial, just to hear his voice for 5 or 10 seconds.
And this particular show? And some people say, well, I don't know, nobody wants to hear about me. I'll tell you what, I would love to have a two-hour conversation with my dad, my
sure,
mother, and my grandparents.
Sure, that'd be fun.
Because we don't know anything other
no.
than where they're at.
Every now and then, questions come up in my mind that I wish I had asked
yeah.
my parents something, and I no longer have that possibility now. But,
so
but you know,
this?
I think that comes with age. And, you know, when you're younger, you're just so busy in life, and you don't think that much about things.
Well, being a grandparent is a lot more pleasant,
yeah.
you know, because you have the time.
Right.
Now, who was the fellow that said this is Andy?
Well, that was Andy, and that's my oldest son. I have two sons.
Okay.
I think he's 37 now.
Andy and?
Andy and Nick.
Nick, N-I-C?
Nick. Yeah, N-I-C-K. Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Does he work with them?
Yes, that two own the business. They're partners
oh.
in the business.
Okay.
Because I sold it to them, I believe it was 3 years ago. It could even be going on 4 years ago. I sold it to them, and they've been running it very successfully. In fact, better than I did. You know, they bring in, I think they bring new energy to it.
Sure.
After you run a company for 35 years, I could kind of run it on autopilot, and I could feel myself not having quite the same enthusiasm. And I think business needs to remain enthused and excited and have a lot of energy. And they brought a lot of that to the company when they took over.
I used to say sales is 90% enthusiasm and 10% sales.
Yes. Yeah.
It's just the way it is. Now, you've done tons of work for me.
Sure.
When I say
sure.
tons, it's probably not comparable to others. But, you know, when something happens,
typical,
like
right?
That mm-hmm. winter storm we had several years ago, my mm-hmm. furnace was done.
Yes.
And the next day I had a new furnace.
Right, right, yeah. And we appreciate that. And we really love all of our customers here in Northfield. And I know everybody says that. Every business owner says that. And it's true. I mean, we just really appreciate every single customer. And that's one of the nice things about being in business is walking down the street and seeing so many people who you've done business with for years and years.
You miss Ray Johnson?
Sure. You know, he was a big figure in the water softener business and just in Northfield in general.
Yeah, and he's just, he was a really nice guy.
Yes, yeah.
I still have the service that they provided going for me at my home. So
yeah, I still have one of Kenny's softeners in my house.
Yep. I'm going to take a break, and we'll be back in just approximately, well, how about one, well, let's find out. Here we go.
Farmer's Mill and Elevator in Castle Rock has everything today's farmer needs, from seed, fertilizer, herbicide, and custom application. They have all your spring needs. Farmer's Mill and Elevator has over 70 years of experience working with the area farmers to achieve the best possible products. Farmer's Mill and Elevator in Castle Rock salutes the FFA members at the state convention. The Farmer's Mill and Elevator is a proud supporter of FFA programs.
Simon Brothers Cement has been providing quality masonry service for the surrounding area since 1969. Simon Brothers does all sorts of concrete or block work, including residential driveways and stamped or exposed aggregate patios. Simon Brothers also does ag-related concrete work and is proud of our local FFA members attending the Minnesota State FFA Convention. Contact Simon Brothers Cement at 612-328-4591 for an estimate on your next concrete project. That's 612-328-4591.
Can you name that tune?
No, I can't. Not just from... Oh, sure, now I start to hear it. Don't know the name of that.
First Beatle that died.
George
Harrison. Mm-hmm. That's the title.
And that was in 70.
1970.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Time flies. When you think about it, that's 48 years ago, Jesse.
It's a long time ago.
You want to wrap things up and come back and we'll get you out of high school?
Absolutely. Out of college.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, were you the first to get a college education?
Yeah, you know, our family really was pretty poor, but you have 10 children and you have a blue-collar worker, and none of my brothers or sisters went to college, and I really didn't have money to go either, but music allowed me the opportunity, and so I had some scholarship money from that. And so that allowed me the opportunity, and I just always knew that I wanted to do something else.
And boy, you did things that I didn't even know you did.
Yeah.
You know, I just remember you as a high school kid when I first called on your dad and brothers out at Denison.
Right.
And we'd go in the back, you know, and have a cup of coffee.
Right.
And I was, I have to tell you, I am no good with my hands. I could have never repaired the clarinet.
Sure.
And, you know, I like to say, you know, work. I love it. I could watch it forever. But I like what I fortunately did with my life.
Right, right. Absolutely.
And, but I just am not a handy guy. I can't fix things. I don't know.
Well, sometimes it's a curse, too, in a way, because we always think we have to do everything. And sometimes it's best to hire things done. But those of us that are handy always try our hands and everything. And once in a while, we'd be better off leaving it to the other person.
When I married Julie, Sunday was our 29th anniversary. I told her, I said, I don't do work.
Fix things so much.
You know, but when, you know, did the lawn and simple stuff,
straighten
out the garage. But I have gifts like a circular saw, I think it is, and other tools that are still in the box because Julie won't let me near a power tool because you never know what's going to happen.
Don't want to lose a finger.
Yeah, and I have screwed it up. So anyhow, when we come back, let's talk about your college career.
Okay.
And also talk about the fabulous trip in a nutshell. What did you do on your bicycle?
Well, I rode from St. Augustine, Florida, across the Southern Tier, and ended up in San Diego.
Wow. And what time of the year did you start?
I started in March, the middle of March.
Okay.
And we could talk about why I picked that time and why I went east to west and so on.
Well, we'll do that next interview. We'll talk about your college career and your high school teaching. I never knew that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I...
Now, you're getting pension checks from...
I only end up teaching for about 6 years total.
Well, I thought you
and
still
contributed. And so there was really no pension, though.
Oh. Okay. What is it called? that pension teachers have.
Oh, you
PETA
know.
Or not PETA?
No, but I know what you're saying, yeah. But it's not coming to mind.
All right. Hey, thanks for coming in.
No problem. Thank you, Wayne, and I'm hoping that the listeners didn't get too terribly bored, but you always make it interesting.
Well, I am going to get in touch with you, and we'll set another date for part two. This is being recorded, and you can download it
okay.
on your computer, download it on your phone.
Great.
But keep it for Andy and any grandchildren you have. Do you have grandchildren?
Yes, we have two grandchildren.
Okay. They'll love to hear this 20 years from now.
That's a good idea.
That's a great idea.
And we can get a copy from you?
Yes.
Great.
Talk to the lady at the desk when you leave.
All right.
And now you can leave.
All right. Thank you. And
thank you.
Next time I won't forget.
All right. I forgot you forgot. Jesse Streit was my guest here this morning on KYMN Radio. We are a friend you can count on. And we want you to know that we're going to go into our music mode here on 1080 AM. And now, the one, 95.1 FM, from Northfield, Minnesota, KYMN.
95.1, the one.